Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, the second half kickoff for the home team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future. Elevated, Chris and Jeff with you till 7. And tonight, beginning at 8 o'clock, Jeff, we will have an NFL postseason classic from 2010 NFC wildcard game between the Green Bay Packers and Arizona Cardinals. Next Thursday, we'll actually have that 1993 game where the Bills came back on the Oilers.
I remember that. I was in college. That was, what would that have been, around like January 10th or 11th, something like that?
Yeah.
I never will forget watching it. Was it 35-3? Is that right? And then 41-38 was the final.
With Frank Reich, not Jim Kelly, leading the comeback.
Which really is amazing that he orchestrated the biggest comeback in college when they trailed Miami 31-0 and he was at Maryland. And then did it again in the NFL. That's unbelievable. And again, this is not John Elway doing it. It's Frank Reich.
Frank Reich, who I like right now as a coach.
Yeah.
And he's got those two assistants,
George Lee and John Park.
But and the other little footnote, too, about the Maryland comeback over Miami is that Maryland comeback and the Flutie Hail Mary were consecutive games.
Yes, they were. So Miami went from, I think, 8-2 to 8-4 at that point. But they got all the bad stuff out of their system there for a few years. that was the end of the crazy stuff that happened against them, as they just became an all-out juggernaut. But I got to say, the Golf Channel getting a big and I love Faraday, but, you know, they're running Faraday. Although now that I say that, he is interviewing my man Tom Watson from 6 till 7, but we'll be on air. But I just thought they were going to be going Masters, Masters, Masters. And tonight from 7:30 to 8:30, it's the 2012 Green Jacket Ceremony and Presser with Bubba Watson. And then they do have the golf films on Ben Hogan, which was really good. It's not as good as Jack or Arnie, but it was good. Right now, ESPN is showing Bubba's Masters victory over Louis Oosthuizen from 2012. And tonight they'll be showing Tiger in 97. But Chris, as you brought us back, as you so magnificently do, I stepped into my little hut here, and none other than Ron the Gator Guidry is on the mound. Thurman Munson's catching, and the Penguin Ron Say is at the plate.
Yeah, there's trouble, too. The Dodgers have at least Dusty Baker on second. I don't know if there's anyone on first.
Yeah, you got the bullpen going. Oh, is that the Goose and Sparky Lyle both?
Yeah, because I mean, there's not a bunch of nonsense on the screen, but that's one thing you don't have now. If you're listening to the game on mute, there's no, hey, who's on base? How many guys are on base? And what's the score right now?
What's the score? And so this must be Ron Guidry day, because they've actually got a regular season game where he struck out 18 angels in 1978, and that's the year that Guidry went 25-3. So yeah, I mean, that's, hey, the MLB Network's been coming through. Let me double check here and see what is on the NFL Network tonight. NFL's greatest games, yeah, Jets and Browns. Okay,
from what year?
Yeah, from 2018. Yeah, this is not, you know, Joe Namath at quarterback for the Jets, and God, Jim Brown was gone by then. And then loosely greatest games, we got Pats and Rams tonight.
Is that the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
What, the one in Atlanta?
13-3.
Oh, God. That's the worst Super Bowl? Well, one of them. It's in the bottom five.
I would say that Ravens-Giants was the worst when you consider the quarterbacks, the coaches, how bad the game was. I think that the Broncos over the Panthers was number two.
That was pretty bad. I would make a case that, you know, you're talking about like the that Ravens-Giants Super Bowl being bad, but when you think back on who the quarterbacks were and the coaches, like maybe that was to be expected. But when you've got Belichick against a young up-and-coming McVay and Tom Brady in there, it's like for that Super Bowl to turn out to be garbage was – that was bad.
It was disappointing because I think we all thought it was going to be an exciting game. And the deal is the Rams missed a couple of chances. And, you know, you play New England, you play you-know-who in college. Boy, if you get that opening, you better cash in or they're going to make you pay. And then the deal was what they dropped what should have been a touchdown, and then the next play they throw an interception, looked like maybe a little bit of interference.
Maybe. It was a lot of interference.
Well, I said maybe a little, so you say, no, it was probably a lot.
Yeah. All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. And, Jeff, let's start with verbal commitments because Georgia gets a pair of them over, I guess they both came in technically, what, last night? So Wednesday night into Thursday today, giving Georgia now 6 for the class of 2021. Give us your take on big offensive lineman Micah Morris and running back Lavasia Carroll.
Yes, I was elated last night when we got Micah Morris. He is a good look at Greg Nettles. What a play! He is a big time prospect. I was about to say in the hot corner, but that'd be Greg Nettles. He is a big-time prospect at offensive tackle for Georgia. And, again, one of those elite players from the state, growing up in St. Mary's, which is right down on the Georgia-Florida border, which is another perk to beating the Gators. And just Georgia's in his blood. That's a tremendous, tremendous Georgia-backed part of the state. I mean, we're the majority party in every county in the state, but down in Camden County, that is big time Georgia country. And Morris is an excellent student, and I just think when you look at Matt Luke and what he's been able to do and just keeping the recruiting train going, and a tip of the cap as well to Todd Hartley, that's one of his recruiting areas, Southeast Georgia, Coastal Georgia there. That is an enormous, literally and figuratively, pull-in for Georgia. And, Chris, I think particularly if Georgia can get in a Marius Mims, when you look at the line class that the Dogs hauled in that'll be coming in this year, now you're talking about putting together those back-to-back classes on the front like Georgia did in 17 and 18.
Isn't Camden County where you were when we hit
it was
when
on
we
March
ran
the
to
12th.
The standstill?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was there, and that was – oh, man, that was something. But just talking to my friends Brent Blunt and Steve Talley from down there who listen to us a lot, called to congratulate them, and they were so excited, and that's great news. And then to get Carroll, who's from Warrenton, which is pretty much between Athens and South Georgia, and he's played at IMG Academy the last year. Well, when he played high school football at Warrenton and last year at IMG Academy, where they had to divide the carries up a lot more, he averaged over 10 yards a pop both times. So you'll probably see Georgia take two backs here. I think if you could get an elite out-of-stater, you've also got Cody Brown from Parkview. You know, maybe you would think about three, but I would guess Carroll and Cody Brown from Parkview would be at the top of the list. Another good thing about Carroll, though, I think he's one of those guys that could play multiple positions, but for now, looks like he's coming in as a back. And you know, Georgia got Kendall Milton and Dejon Edwards coming in this year, so that's another good one for next season. So a good couple days, and again, just big picture, what Georgia's doing in-state right now is tremendous.
Warren County's not in that that Highway 15 pipeline, though, is it?
No.
But it's in that neighborhood.
It is in the neighborhood. It is. Warren County is kind of more between, I would say, Waynesboro and Thompson. So if you're heading towards South Georgia down Highway 78, going the other way from the Atlanta Highway towards Augusta, and then cut down. So it's close to that Sandersville, but you know, as the crow flies, probably 40 miles or so away.
And what I like about him is he had he was a one-time South Carolina commitment, and he decommitted from there pretty much right after they lost to North Carolina last season. So,
well, that's a big get there for Georgia, and Kirby Smart and the staff just doing a great job pulling in so many of these local players, so many of these in-state players, and it looks like just a banner recruiting year setting up for Georgia.
Whatever happened, and it's funny, like given the our current time, it's you know some things just kind of like fall off the map, and you haven't even thought about it. But like, whatever happened to Zach Evans?
He hadn't signed anywhere yet.
I know, right? So it's like that whole saga maybe is a little more twisted and complicated now, because the thought was he would just show up somewhere probably in like May or June, but he ain't now because none of these schools are going to be open in May or June.
No. I've heard so many different schools as the front runner. I know.
Was the last Florida maybe?
I'd heard Florida. You know, I'd heard Tennessee trying to get in there. And the thing for him, it looked like every school he was looking at, you know, he went to Ole Miss, you know, he signed here with Georgia, was out of state. Then you start wondering, well, is he just going to now wind up, say, at Texas A&M?
Yeah, well, the Tennessee thing, remember there was that saga where Jeremy Pruitt thought he had a visit with them at his high school or something, and then got shunned or it was called off.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, usually that's not a great sign if you're trying to to get a guy. But that's one of those entertaining recruiting sagas and seeing where would end up. Because the deal is now, because he did sign here, he can't sign anywhere else. It's at the point now where he'll just we'll know where he is when he ends up on, you know, at some team's practice.
Do you think, and especially with everything that's gone on, that a Texas school is more in play now?
Yeah, I would think it would just be easier to, you know, to navigate that.
Yeah, I do too.
And end up there. So, but yeah, that was just a name I thought about the earlier today with all this recruiting news going on. I was like, Zach Evans, what happened to him? So Georgia right now, the class on 24/7 ranked 8, but Georgia's only got 6 commitments. Because I know, like, Florida, I guess, has kind of been bragging about sitting at number 4 right now, but like, well, they've got 13 commitments. That's a volume thing right now at this point.
That is a volume thing. Here's the other good thing about Georgia's class right now. There's not another of the top 12 players in the state right now. There's only one commitment that is not to Georgia. And Georgia appears to be in the lead or right in the mix on all the other players.
So the one is the kid that's going to Clemson, right?
Yeah, I believe it's Jordan Hancock's his name's a cornerback.
Yes. Okay. And then you said that Colsey from...
He's decommitted from Notre Dame.
He's decommitted, but I still see them as 100% though on the crystal ball.
Well, so he ain't going to Notre Dame.
He's not?
Well, he decommitted.
Well, maybe he wants to go back there at some point.
He probably finally went up there for a visit in the wintertime.
Yeah, said, maybe.
No, thank you. No, he needs to wind up here at Georgia. He needs to stay home.
I see that he's cool on Alabama, according to this.
Yeah, Colsey would be a good get. This is going to be a great year in state for Georgia. I'm extremely excited about it, and especially when you look at some of the position groups too.
Yeah, well, the thing, Colsey's a receiver, you'd like to think Brock Vandegrift is working him pretty hard right now.
Well, although they're big rivals now, Prince and Athens Academy. Hey, but now we could play together.
Yeah, no, it's a good call. Yeah, they do have a rivalry at this point. All right, moving on in the 5-5, Jeff. Today should have been the first round of the Masters. Who's leading right now? Is it Charlie Hoffman? First round leader, always kind of odd.
Charlie Hoffman is 5 under par. Louis Oosthuizen popping in there at -4. You've got the usual cast of suspects in there, all between even and -2, with Koepka, with Spieth, with McIlroy, even Tiger Woods at -1, and Phil Mickelson coming in at even par, but he's only through 16, so maybe a chance to roll in a birdie there to get to 1 under. So I'm going with a lot of elites sitting right there, but you're spot on. It's Charlie Hoffman who's in the lead as the first round nears an end.
So you trust Tiger says he would have been healthy. You trust him?
Yeah. I think he was probably – gearing up for this, and he sacrificed not playing at Sawgrass. The guys who are going to benefit the most from this thing being in November are Koepka and Tiger.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what type of schedule Tiger does run, though, because if he plays in he's going to play in the PGA and the U.S. Opens, and then if you throw in there the playoff and that event leading up to there, you're looking at, what is that, like 5 or 6 straight weeks of golf.
He's going to have to pick his spots.
He's going to have to skip the playoff.
He might have to.
I don't even know if he'd be qualified. How are they going to qualify guys for that?
That might be one of those things they could have just put off till next year.
Yeah. I mean, still have the tournaments, but maybe don't call it. Because you have to have the tour championship, I guess.
Yeah, but it's coming before 2 of the majors.
Good point. Yeah, that may be one as they could have just called off.
Oh, I get it. We're all, we're going through this as... Yeah, we're I guess flying blind in this, just trying to find the right dates for all of it. So it's all going to be unusual. Now, the one thing Cuts always brings this up, and I forget about it a lot, you don't know with Tiger's back. I mean, if it's cold in Augusta in November, how much that would hurt him. But I've just got a feeling Koepka's going to be informed by then.
Well, he'll be about a year, because it was about that time last year, November, December, he was rehabbing that knee.
Yep. But here's how good a year Koepka had last year that we're saying he only won one major.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, because he darn could have won the Masters. He sure darn could have won the U.S. Open. And I know Lowry wound up pulling away, but he was sniffing around it at the British.
He disappointed me, though, when he won another tournament last year, because I really just wanted his career to basically be nothing but majors.
Here's Brooks Koepka, 11 career wins, 8 major championships.
Yeah, I wanted that for him, but he messed up, and I think he won one of those playoff events,
didn't he? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, screwed up. Shouldn't have done that. all right, Jeff, moving on in the – do you think there maybe would have been like a Spieth sighting today? You know, he's done nothing, but it's Augusta again, and he pops up on the leaderboard the first day, and then he ultimately would fade by Sunday?
Yeah, I do. He's, from the first time he set foot on that course. I mean, remember, he finished second as a 20-year-old to Bubba Watson when Bubba won it in 2014. I mean, you're talking about a guy, he's quote-unquote only got one. I mean, he could certainly – he should at least have two and could possibly be sitting with 3 or 4 green jackets. You know, obviously the one in 2016 will haunt him for the rest of his life. But, yeah, I do think Spieth at Augusta is a good play. But, I mean, again, you look at what's happened to his game and you wonder, at least for now, is he going to be competitive at any of the other majors, at least for the time being? And the thing is, what did Satchel Paige always say? Don't look back. Somebody might be gaining on you. There's so many good young players out there. Not to mention all these elites. I mean, the one guy other than Rory who had been playing really well, who had some good moments, was Justin Thomas. But you got guys like Xander Shoffley who have been around the leaderboard. So it's going to be a tough road to hoe for Spieth right now. I mean, and, when he was having his surge back in 2015 and then when he won the British in 17, I mean, Chris, we've talked about it. I mean, even counting Nicklaus and Woods, I've never seen anybody make the number of long putts that he made consistently.
Well, yeah, after a while, you start to realize, these are the young up-and-coming players, but at some point, McElroy's 30 already. Right. Even, Dustin Johnson.
He's 36.
Yeah, I mean, he's mid to upper 30s now, but there was that run with – you had Victor Hovland and then that Sung Jae-im that won back-to-back tournaments that were – both 20, 21 years old, that you could see just this, these young guys that are all over the place now.
And M is obviously incredibly good. And Hovland's a guy, he's got the game, he's got the background. I mean, he's won and been in the hunt for all these amateur championships, been low am. And I mean, he's a guy who I would predict he would win. I would set Chris his over-under for career major championships at 1.5. I think he's that good.
Yeah. Watching the Dodgers and Yankees here, There was a play at third base. Greg Nettles ended up on the ground, and the who's that for the
is that Garvey there? I can't tell.
I couldn't tell, but whoever it was like tried offered him Nettles his hand to like try and help him up, and Nettles would not accept it.
Oh my gosh!
All right, Jeff. Couple of NFL draft thoughts. First of all, by the way, there was a poll I saw on
ESPN. That was Garvey, by the way.
It was Steve Garvey. Well, I wouldn't have taken his hand either. Don't know where that's been.
Here's the Penguin.
Yeah, Ron Say.
Who was on a Columbo once.
Yeah. I remember him more as a Cub when I would rush home from school to watch him.
So here's what nickname's great. You got Ron the Gator Guidry against Ron the Penguin Say.
Yeah.
That's great stuff.
All right, Jeff, here's a couple NFL draft quick hitters. We are 2 weeks from today.
Yes, sir.
We'll have the NFL draft. First offensive lineman drafted. The favorite is Tristan Wirfs.
It sounds like that's going to be a bad pick, and that's going to be the right answer. Andrew Thomas should be the first O-lineman taken.
First running back drafted, heavy favorite, Swift.
Swift will be.
The surprise might be that Jonathan Taylor is big-time favorite as the second back drafted ahead of J.K. Dobbins.
I would take Edwards-Helaire second.
I like Edwards-Helaire, too.
Because he could go out and catch it, too. Dobbins can't catch. They would have won the national – excuse me. They would have played the national title game if he could catch. They would have beaten Clemson.
Yeah, they would have lost to LSU, though.
Yes, but they would have beaten Clemson if he could catch.
First receiver drafted is Jerry Jeudy. Agree or disagree?
I think he's the best one. That C.D. Lamb's going up the boards. I think Judy's the best guy, though.
I guess Ruggs is the burner.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously they can all run, but Judy's the guy that I would guess would be the first. That C.D. Lamb keeps moving up, but he also got to look at pedigree, and those Bama receivers have been a hit. I mean, when you're talking about, Julio, Cooper, and now Ridley.
Yeah. Which one of them was Jeudy? It was either Jeudy or Ruggs is the one who had that comment about how they played rock, paper, scissors to decide which one of them got to run the hot route last year at Bama.
Well, they got four first rounders. So they got Smith and who's the other one that's back? Because Ruggs left and
well,
obviously
yeah, Smith
Jeudy
is
left.
Back and then.
Yeah, he got another one of the guys who could have gone pro and probably would have been a first rounder.
Yeah. But the next time Saban gets upset with the media for not respecting their cupcake opponent and point out to him that, well, apparently your receivers used to play rock, paper, scissors during those games and decide which one got to run the route that would catch the touchdown.
Yeah.
Second quarterback drafted is still Tua favorite, although there appears to be some momentum with Herbert because teams are dumb.
Don't do it, Miami. Don't do it.
Yeah. I guess those are like kind of the main fun ones today. Although there is, will any draftee experience technical difficulties?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lock because they're going to be Skyping or on Zoom or something if they're getting interviewed during the draft. So if you've been watching late night TV and you've seen those hosts attempt to put on a show from their homes, there will be technical difficulties.
Well, and especially, too, we all get the social distancing. There are going to be some family members for some of these guys who are getting picked, and I understand it, and everybody's going to be tweeting and taking pictures, and it's going to stretch the bandwidth of the internet signal in home. So yeah, you're going to have some glitches there.
In fact, there's the highest number of people in the same room, over under 9.5 people.
Over.
Yeah, even though I know all states have different rules now at this point because they've been affected by this differently. But, I mean, here in Georgia, we're now at the complete shelter in place. But even before that, it was like gatherings of no more than 10. That was pretty much the max number there.
Yeah, I've just got a feeling we'll see more than that. Yes, that's family members.
Yeah. So well, we've even got the number of cats and the number of dogs that will be seen during the first round.
7.5 the number?
Well, dogs is 3.5, cats is a half.
Okay. So I would go over that.
Over on both?
Yeah.
Even cats?
Well, I mean, that, you know, cats are sly. It might, you know, jump on a counter or something behind the players being interviewed.
Yeah, the thing, like, the cats, though, could be, like, they don't necessarily, they won't be around all the people, but you know the dogs are going to be right there.
Oh, for sure.
So, anyway, so the dogs are favored there. But, There's a few NFL draft prop bets 2 weeks out.
Well, have you found a favorite for you? By the way, Bucky Dent just got a big hit. Have you found one or two that you like?
Well, the like I said earlier, the one that initially caught my eye was the Georgia players drafted in the first round as a half over Auburn with that at plus money. And we know Thomas and Brown are the locks. So it comes down to, does Swift go in the first round? But then I forgot about Marlon Davidson, which throws a little wrinkle into that. I'm glad you reminded me of him, because I was sitting there thinking, is there another Auburn guy after Brown? And then like, oh yeah, Davidson.
Is there any way you think could Jake Fromm sneak in late in the first round? There's always a couple of surprises.
Yeah, but there really doesn't seem to be a lot of momentum with him right now. Maybe like a guy who could would be like Isaiah Wilson, you know, big 6'6", 350-pound offensive lineman, someone like him.
He would be a guy, I would think, who would be sitting there in the second round. And, you know, let's just say, because last I saw him, he was projected as like the 74th player to go, which would be, what, early middle third round there. But he would be the type of guy you would think that if you wanted to retool that offensive line, if you could get him in the second or the early third, he's certainly got the potential. I mean, he was a very good player at Georgia, but if he continues to put in the work, I think he's one of those guys who could be a better pro. So, you know, like to me, like he would be a guy, if you're the Falcons, if he's sitting there early third, you got to be all over him.
Does someone draft Hot Rod in the first round?
No. Kevin says, one worry for him, say his ball comes out a little bit low on field goals. So we'll see if he gets picked.
No. But, you know, well, Kevin was supposed to work on that.
He was with him for 2 years. Where Rod's really... I mean, he was so good on those kickoffs. That's what just blew me away.
Yeah, but even Rodrigo pointed out during the draft process is NFL teams don't necessarily want to see you just booming out of the end zone because you got a directional kick sometimes.
How soon, though, before the NFL puts in that fair catch rule?
Yeah, I don't know. Or even does they'll never do that. They'll never adopt anything the XFL was doing, even if the XFL idea wasn't bad.
Like, this is a brilliant idea, but yeah. No, we're not going to do it.
They'll never admit that. All right, so there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. It is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.